This morning we'll read from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 2, verses 10 and through 12, and then chapter 3, verses 3 through 14. Then David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. And the days that David reigned over Israel were 40 years. 7 years he reigned in Hebron, and 33 years he reigned in Jerusalem. And Solomon sat on the throne of David his father, and his kingdom was firmly established. And then chapter 3, beginning with verse 3. Now Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except he sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night, and God said, "Ask what you wish me to give you." And Solomon said, "Thou hast great love and kindness been shown to your servant David, my father. According as he walked before thee in truth and righteousness and uprightness of heart toward thee, and thou hast reserved for him this great loving kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king in place of my father David. Yet I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen, a great people who cannot be numbered or counted for multitude. So give thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of thine?" And it was pleasing in the sight of the Lord that Solomon asked this thing. And God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing, and have not asked for yourself long life, nor have you asked riches for yourself, nor have you asked for the life of your enemies, but you have asked for your self-discernment to understand justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. Behold, I have given you a wise and discerning heart, so that there has been no one like you before you, nor shall one like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that there will not be any among the kings like you all your days. And if you walk in my ways, keeping my statutes, my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will prolong your days." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The kingdom belonged to Solomon. With the crown upon his head, he sat upon the throne of his father David. And his kingdom was firmly established. Was it really? Firmly established? By whose definition? Maybe it's what everybody was telling Solomon. After all, people know that the key to survival in a kingdom is telling the king what he wants to hear. Maybe it was even what Solomon was telling himself. Maybe he was doing his best to believe it. He certainly wanted his kingdom to be firmly established. It was what was expected of him. To fail would be to fail not only his father, but God. Was Solomon ready? Was he up to the task? Could he do what people thought he could do? Was his kingdom firmly established? Would it ever be? Solomon wasn't just thrown into the water to see if he could swim. David, his father, had been king and knew full well the risk that was involved and the challenges of ruling the kingdom. Not to say, speak of the transfer of power, but ascending and sitting on the throne had just about cost David his life many times over. Out of concern for his son Solomon, he would not have let him wander into the face of that kind of danger without the best preparations he had to offer. Let's consider this morning what David might have put in Solomon's backpack as he set out to firmly establish his kingdom. What was he handed to to equip him to get the job done. There was, of course, fatherly advice, seasoned with experience. And David had advised Solomon to ascend to the throne with a powerful hand. Solomon had been warned that if he were to firmly establish the kingdom, it was going to mean revenge. There had been foes who opposed and cursed David, adversaries who had contested Solomon's becoming king. David's advice had been to kill all who did or would stand in opposition to Solomon. The kingdom, David advised, would be firmly established by power. The remaining portion of 1 Kings chapter 2 is omitted from this morning's lectionary reading. There, you'll find more than 30 verses that relate a powerful narrative of how Solomon methodically went about executing all of his adversaries, firmly establishing his kingdom. His power was effective, no doubt about that. He was king, after all. He had Benaiah, the mighty man of David, as his general and chief executioner. One after another, all opposition was removed by the power and authority of Solomon's crown. Solomon was already wise enough to know that whatever power establishes, there is an equal and greater power that can bring it down just as quickly. Power is never enough to firmly establish a kingdom, a country, or even a life. It takes more than that, and Solomon knew it. Solomon knew his kingdom was not firmly established. Despite his power, despite his accomplishments, despite popular opinion, despite all of it, he still felt like he didn't have a clue to what he was doing. He knew that he was in over his head, crown and all. So much for Dad's advice. What else was in his backpack? More advice. David had told Solomon in order to firmly establish his kingdom, he would have to walk in the ways of the Lord, keep the Lord's statutes, commandments, ordinances, and testimonies. How is he supposed to do that? What did that even mean? And how would people know he was doing it, even if he could figure it out? Gibeon, that's it. He would take his backpack and go to Gibeon. You see, Gibeon was what was called a high place. It was a place that had been associated with idol worship from way back. And because of that, it had been forbidden as a place in which offerings to God could be made. But it remained to many throughout Israel, including Solomon, a visible, tangible expression of piety and holiness. Solomon going there would prove to his populous base that he was walking in the way of the Lord. It would prove he was powerful and pious. Oh, was he ever pious? 1,000 burnt offerings. Can't get much more pious than that. But it didn't seem to be working for Solomon. Turns out that trying to look pious is exhausting. He fell asleep in church. Man, he would never firmly establish his kingdom. He needed more than power and the appearance of righteousness. It takes more than a show of power or a show of piety to firmly establish anything. We all have the wisdom, or at least the experience, to know that. There he was, in the middle of a nightmare of how his kingdom was as sure to fall as his ill-fitting crown that had fallen over his eyes as he slept with his head resting on his overly stuffed backpack. It must have reminded God of the time when the poor kid's dad, David, had been fitted with a suit of armor that was too big for him as he set out to fight the giant Goliath. God had mercy on the young king and went to him as he was caught up in his distressing dream. "What's in your backpack, Solomon?" "Well, there's advice, a lot of advice. There are expectations of the whole kingdom. There's some power and some piety, maybe a little too much piety, all kinds of stuff. But I'm just a kid, and this backpack is too heavy. God says, "What's missing, Solomon? What else do you think you might need to firmly establish your kingdom?" Solomon, being far wiser than he realized, knew what he needed to firmly establish his kingdom was wisdom. In Solomon's request for wisdom, there is a relational component. He wants to be able to know what is best for the kingdom as a whole rather than just individual concerns. His prayer for wisdom has an ethical component that wants to be able to discern between right and wrong. Was Solomon wise to stop there? Is there more to wisdom than that? In an interpretation of this scripture, Julian de Chesser defines wisdom as the ability to know right from wrong, to choose right, and to do right. Wisdom includes knowing, choosing, and doing. God was pleased with Solomon's prayer for wisdom. God blessed Solomon with enough wisdom to know right from wrong, a wisdom for which he was known and remembered across time. That was God's gift in response to Solomon's request. The scripture tells us that Solomon wasn't always wise enough to choose to do the right thing, even when he knew right from wrong. It was his poor choices that led to the division of his kingdom upon his death, rather than it being firmly established. Even in all of his wisdom, Solomon wasn't able to figure out how to do what was right. God placed wisdom in Solomon's backpack. It was the one thing that was lacking, but it was up to Solomon to choose it from among all the other stuff at his disposal. It was up to Solomon to do what was good and right, to complete the assignment in a way that was for the good of the kingdom. What's in your backpack? We might not be sent out to establish our kingdom, but we all have our own tasks, our own duties and responsibilities. We all have expectations of others and ourselves placed upon us. We all have our own divinely appointed purpose. We all set out on our tasks with overly stuffed backpacks. We are loaded down with advice and affirmations from those who believe in us. We have at our disposal resources to help us with a wide variety of assignments. We have teachers and role models to show us how and how not to succeed. Sometimes the loaded backpacks give us the assurance we need. We trust them. Other times, we struggle beneath the weight of them. After all, we too are only kids, no matter how old we are. We all face new challenges or forget a pencil now and then. Sometimes we just want to rest our weary heads on our backpacks and take a nap. Sometimes we wear ourselves out trying to appear ready or have it all together. Sometimes we trust our intelligence, our experience, our power, or piety, and forget the one thing we need to firmly establish ourselves in whatever it is that God is calling us to do. What's in your backpack? Do you have everything you need? Solomon knew that wisdom was essential if he was to succeed in firmly establishing his kingdom. The good news of the gospel is that wisdom comes into the heart of all who embrace God's way. But remember, wisdom is more than knowing right from wrong. It's also about choosing and doing what's right. May God, who gives us wisdom, also give us courage to choose what we know is right and the strength to do it. Amen.